Your name?
Kevin Camps.
What brings you outside the Department of Energy today, Kevin Camps? You have a stylish Halloween outfit.
Today is the last day for public comments on the Blue Ribbon Commission for America's Nuclear Future, which is a panel established by the Obama administration to figure out our country's radioactive waste policy, really from here on out. And today's the last day for public comment. We're very upset about their draft recommendations that they put out in July. They're completely ignoring public concerns. We've been engaged in their process for going on 2 years, and really we've been completely ignored. They go through the motions of listening to us. They give lip service to public involvement. But what they've come up with is a wish list for the nuclear power industry in terms of its radioactive waste liability.
We've seen the dangers with nuclear power recently with Fukushima.
Yes, and included in that are not only the reactor risks, which have been so dramatically highlighted by the Fukushima nuclear catastrophe, but also radioactive waste risks. The four units in crisis at Fukushima Daiichi each have storage pools for high-level radioactive waste, all of which have been in very serious trouble during the course of the past 8 months or so. The worst of them is Fukushima Daiichi Unit 4. The building itself is listing to one side, including the storage pool for high-level radioactive waste. They've had to take very extraordinary measures to try to shore up that pool. They've put steel jacks under the floor and against the walls of the pool to try to prevent its collapse. If it does collapse, it will spill out, leak out all of its cooling water supply, and within a matter of an hour or two, the radioactive waste will be on fire. And that would represent yet another catastrophic release of radioactivity directly into the environment, because these pools, just like here, are not confined within a containment building. They're at this point open air because the secondary containment buildings have been destroyed by the explosions.
That's halfway across the world in Japan, but here in the U.S. things are different, right?
No, we have lots of risks with radioactive waste storage, both in pools and even in the outdoor dry casks, which are safer than pools. But there is no safe when it comes to radioactive waste. There are lesser evils. And so our main message today is to stop making it. Stop making radioactive waste. We are 70 years into the atomic age, and we still do not have a basic solution to the radioactive waste problem. We don't know where to dispose of it, where it will be safely isolated from the living environment for a million years or longer into the future.
One of the first two sentences in the flyer you're handing out today reads, "Electricity is but the fleeting byproduct from atomic reactors. The actual product is forever deadly radioactive waste."
Well, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, in the Yucca Mountain proceeding, which is or was the proposed burial site in the United States, which thankfully the Obama administration has canceled that bad idea. But the EPA recognized at Yucca 1 million years of hazard. They did not include, they did not account for even longer lasting radioactive poisons like iodine-129, which has a hazardous persistence of 157 million years, or to be safer, we should probably take it out to 314 million years. That's how long one of the hundreds of ingredients, and it is Halloween, in this witch's brew of radioactive waste. That's iodine-129. Depending on which one you're talking about, plutonium-239, a hazardous persistence of close to 500,000 years. So this is a forever hazard that this generation, the past couple generations, have generated just for this fleeting few decades of electricity.
You have an initiative, Freeze Our Fukushimas?
Yes, Beyond Nuclear, joined by over 8,000 co-petitioners, both groups and individuals, has petitioned the Nuclear Regulatory Commission under its emergency petitioning system to shut down the identical twins here in the United States to Fukushima Daiichi. We have 23 operating reactor units that are of the identical same design as Fukushima Daiichi, including some of the oldest and riskiest atomic reactors in the country, places like Oyster Creek, New Jersey, the oldest operating atomic reactor in the country, which is over 40 years old now. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission, this rubber stamp agency, granted Oyster Creek a 20-year license extension despite strong evidence of major safety risks with such things as the primary containment structure, which is the last line of defense against catastrophic radioactivity releases, which have failed at Fukushima Daiichi. Unit 2's primary containment structure was severely damaged by an explosion within the first days of the catastrophe in Japan. creating direct pathways for radioactivity release. We're hoping, although it may be a false hope, that the Unit 1 primary containment structure, the Unit 3 primary containment structure at Fukushima Daiichi have survived largely intact, but chances are that they too have escape pathways for massive amounts of radioactivity, which have escaped certainly from the primary reactor vessels, the reactor pressure vessels, which have melted through the bottom, and the fuel is now in molten form on the bottom of the system, which is the primary containment structure. And we know at Oyster Creek, New Jersey, that that primary containment structure had corroded to half its original thickness due to age-related degradation, due to significant rusting and corrosion that have built up over the past 40 years. And despite all that, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission granted it 20 extra years of operations.
Kevin, I met you at Bus Boys and Poets. Women from Fukushima spoke out. Can you attempt to describe what's at stake here as far as in human terms? These women, will Fukushima ever be the same?
No, Fukushima will never be the same. Like Chernobyl before it, there will be a dead zone. Even the dead zone around Chernobyl is arbitrarily small. It should be expanded dramatically in various directions out to great distances. As an example, Gomel, Belarus, a city of 700,000 people, is severely radioactively contaminated from Chernobyl. And yet, close to 1 million people live there, live their whole lives there. And there are disease rates that reflect that, including among children. The same is now true of Fukushima, unfortunately. The official Japanese government dead zone, they don't call it that, but it is 12.4 miles in radius. It should be much greater. And as we speak, there are Fukushima women joined by women from elsewhere in Japan occupying the Ministry of Energy, Trade. It's the Ministry of Energy, Trade, and Industry, METI, in Tokyo. They've been occupying the ministry for several days already, and I'm not sure how long they plan to stay there. What they're calling for are two things. One is a much broader evacuation zone around Fukushima Daiichi, because people are living in severe radioactive contamination. And also they're calling for an end to nuclear power in Japan. There are still 55 reactors total. You'd have to take four of those away because they've been destroyed at Fukushima, but over 50 reactors in Japan. And the women of Japan in this group called Women Against Nuclear Power are trying to get nuclear power phased out, lest something like this ever happen again. And the women who spoke at Busboys that night, they are leading this occupation. Eileen Miyoko Smith of Green Action Japan was just on Democracy Now! This morning. Mrs. Sashiko Sato, who is the organic natural farmer from Fukushima, is also out there as a part of this occupation. And so were the two women from Hokkaido, Kaori Izumi and Yukiko Anzai. Yukiko is also an organic farmer from Hokkaido, 400 miles away from Fukushima Daiichi. Her honey business is destroyed because her bees spend the winter in Fukushima. They've had to not do their honey this year or any of their bee products because of the contamination. And they're worried about their chickens because they feed their chickens fish meal. And the seas around Japan are severely contaminated from Fukushima. So they're worried that they would then poison their chickens. So it looks like their business may be ruined. They're an organic farm and they live 400 miles away.
What was it like to spend time with these women? I know you did a whole number of events with them. What was that like?
It was very powerful and moving. They said some very powerful things. Mrs. Sato, the organic natural farmer from Fukushima, said that the only sense that can be made of this catastrophe, the only meaning that can be extracted from it, is if the world phases out nuclear power, because their lives are ruined. There will undoubtedly be large increases in various diseases, especially if people continue to live in these severely contaminated areas. And so that was one thing she had to say. The only meaning, the only thing that will mean that we're not living this catastrophe in vain is if the world learns the lesson finally and phases out nuclear power. And her own family, she made preparations after Chernobyl, realizing how close she lived to these nuclear power plants at Fukushima Daiichi. She made plans to evacuate her children. when Chernobyl happened 25 years ago. And that she did. She phoned her friends across Japan and said, the fateful day has come. I have to send my children to you to take care of because the worst has happened. And amazingly, that was before the explosions at Fukushima Daiichi. She was knowledgeable enough about nuclear power to know that they'd already had significant radioactivity releases, those hardened vents, so-called. They were trying to prevent the explosions from happening. They did not succeed. But she made those calls to her friends before the explosions because of the radioactivity releases already underway in the first hours after the earthquake.
It seems like one of the only growth industries in this country is national security, military, police. This seems like an issue of national security. You have potential for a huge amount of damage to be done, and yet it seems like not a lot of resources are going towards securing the waste and towards stopping this so that more waste isn't created.
You're absolutely right. The Blue Ribbon Commission on America's Nuclear Future, which is supposed to come up with a plan B now that Yucca's been canceled for our radioactive waste, incredibly has said as recently as a week or so ago that there are no unmanageable risks with radioactive waste at the reactor sites, not with the pools, not with the dry casks. They're saying this, as we've said, at Fukushima Daiichi as we speak. Unit number 4, its pool, is at risk of just collapsing. So I think there are some unmanageable risks if we have a bad enough earthquake here in the U.S. We just suffered one at the North Anna nuclear power plant. They've been shut down for over 2 months now.
Not far from here.
Not far from Washington, D.C. They had damage to radioactive waste storage there. They're trying to play it off as cosmetic damage, surface damage, not a big deal. We have a lot of questions that have yet to be answered about the status of the radioactive waste storage down there. But you're absolutely right. I mean, September 11th was a major wake-up call to this country in a lot of ways, including on nuclear power and radioactive waste. And very few actions have been taken since. The pools have not been better secured against various attack scenarios. The Fukushima Daiichi twin reactors in this country, of which there are 24 such pools full of radioactive waste, are vulnerable to aerial attack. They're vulnerable to remotely fired missiles, such as anti-tank missiles. They're also vulnerable to natural disasters. They're vulnerable to accidents within the plants, the drop of a heavy load. When they are removing waste at a trickle at this point into dry cast storage, they're lifting loads that weigh well over 100 tons out of the pools. They've had some near misses at various nuclear plants in the U.S. where they nearly dropped those loads, which would have punched a hole in the bottom of the pool, immediately drained the water away, and within an hour the radioactive waste would be on fire. In fact, the risks are greater here in the U.S. than they are at Fukushima Daiichi. The pools here are much more full of radioactive waste than there. So just a couple examples. Vermont Yankee, an exact replica of Fukushima Daiichi, its pool has well over 500 tons of waste in it. That's more than Fukushima Daiichi units 1, 2, 3, and 4 combined. It's because this plant's 40 years old, and everything it's ever made is still in that pool except for a small number of dry casks that have been unloaded. There's actually a pool in this country, Fermi 2, the biggest General Electric boiling water reactor of the Mark I design in the world. It's 1,122 megawatts electric, which makes it nearly three times the size of Fukushima Daiichi Unit 1. Its pool, just south of Detroit, has every ounce of high-level radioactive waste that that plant has ever generated since it started operations in the mid-1980s. None has been offloaded. And again, it's more waste in that one pool than Fukushima Daiichi Units 1, 2, 3, and 4 put together. And why have they not unloaded? They have a permit already from the Nuclear Regulatory Commission to do dry cast storage. It's a rubber stamp process. They take huge shortcuts, and they've got this permit to just offload, you know, some of that waste. The reason they're not offloading is because back in the day, in the 70s, when they built this facility, they forgot to do the welding on the structures needed to support such big weights as 100 tons. They can't unload that pool safely. They're going to have to go back, if they can even, and do that welding they didn't do the better part of four decades ago to make it safe to unload the pool. It's incredible the risks that exist in this country.
You talked about North Anna in Virginia, which had to go offline at the earthquake. Can you also talk about Calvert Cliffs in Maryland, another nearby nuclear reactor?
Sure. North Anna was shut down by the earthquake of August 23rd, the first time in U.S. history that an earthquake has shut down a nuclear power plant. And it came out over the weeks that followed that actually the earthquake was more than twice as strong in terms of ground motion than that plant was designed to withstand. Very significant. So they have a design problem at that plant. The plant was not built well enough given the very real risks of earthquakes and the strength of those potential earthquakes at that site. In fact, there's quite a history of cover-up in North Anna. Back in the late 60s, early 70s, the company covered up the fact that there are fault lines not only in the vicinity, and we saw that on August 23rd, the epicenter of the 5.8 magnitude quake was only 11 miles from North Anna Nuclear Power Plant, but it turns out that there were actually earthquake fault lines on the plant site, immediately adjacent to the nuclear power plant. That's what they covered up in the early 70s. And incredibly, staff at the Atomic Energy Commission, the precursor to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, helped conceal that information from its own licensing board. The Atomic Energy Commission licensing board did not know about these earthquake fault lines. It came out, the Atomic Energy Commission fined the company a whopping $30,000. That's pocket change for these companies because of these seven instances of bearing material faults witness, also known as lying, in the licensing proceeding. So they paid this minor fine, this minor slap on the wrist. They were given their operation and construction license. And we just experienced what can happen. The earthquake did damage to the plant. They've yet to do a thorough inspection of even the reactor cores. They have certainly not inspected the dry cask storage for radioactive waste. There are other risks that have not been addressed, like the dam on Lake Anna, which is the cooling water supply, has been cracked by the earthquake. Even before the earthquake, the American Society of Civil Engineers gave a D-minus grade to the dam at Lake Anna in terms of structural integrity. Earthquake hit, cracked the dam. What's at risk is loss of at least a part of the lake, or perhaps the entire lake, and then the plant would not have a cooling water supply to keep the reactor core cool. And as we've seen at Fukushima Daiichi, if you lose your cooling water or your electricity to run the cooling water systems, you can be in a catastrophic disaster very quickly.
And Calvert Cliffs?
Calvert Cliffs was shut down by Hurricane Irene when a section of the turbine building aluminum siding was ripped off by the high winds, was blown into a large transformer on site. Fortunately, the reactor shut down. The emergency diesel generators did operate. I say fortunately because that was a part of the catastrophe at Fukushima Daiichi. The earthquake very well may have done enough damage to cause meltdowns at certain of the units at Fukushima Daiichi, but the death blow was when the tsunami came and wiped out the diesel generators, the backup power supply to run safety systems. So fortunately at Calvert Cliffs, during Hurricane Irene, the backup safety systems operated. That was not the case entirely at North Anna with the earthquake. There were four emergency diesel generators at North Anna. One of them did not work. So fortunately, three of them did work. We've had a lot of close calls in the United States. Congressman Markey of Massachusetts has documented this. I believe the number is around 75 instances where emergency diesel generators did not work when called upon in this country. And that can turn into a very bad situation very quickly. One of those close calls was Davis-Bessey Atomic Reactor near Toledo in June of 98. A direct hit by a tornado, and the emergency diesels did not operate properly. And fortunately, the grid was restored just before the last remaining diesel gave up the ghost at Davis-Bessey. If the grid had not been restored, you could have an overheating of the reactor core in a short period of time, a meltdown, and then you better hope your containment building holds.
Kevin, you mentioned that a $30,000 fine, essentially nothing. Can you talk about the money that's at stake here?
Yes, a typical nuclear power plant with two reactors like North Anna, like Calvert Cliffs, so close to Washington, D.C., they typically make on average about $1 million a day of net profit from electricity sales, which is a pretty penny. They're pocketing all those profits, the corporate executives, the shareholders of these companies. They have externalized all of or most of their costs, their risks, their liabilities onto the public, either onto taxpayers at the national or state level, or they've externalized their costs onto ratepayers. So that's how they make a killing while getting away with murder in so many different ways. One example of that, and that's why we're standing here today, is radioactive waste. The U.S. federal government, in its largesse back in the year 1957, told the utility companies of America, we will take care of the high-level radioactive waste. Go ahead and build your plants, your nuclear reactors. We'll take care of the waste. And that was enacted into law in 1983. And it's an incredible liability for both ratepayers and taxpayers. Ratepayers that get nuclear electricity are already paying a surcharge on their electricity bill to deal with the waste. That fund of money has grown to about $30 billion. That's what American ratepayers have been charged. But it's far short of what's going to be needed. And so to make up for the shortfall, taxpayers will be looked to. And most of us are both ratepayers and taxpayers, so they're getting us out of both of our pockets. Incredibly, because no solution's been found to the radioactive waste problem, the utility companies have sued the federal government for damages. They've sued the Department of Energy, where we stand, beginning in 1998, for not taking out the garbage. And they're now getting $500 million a year in damages. Taxpayers are paying damages to the nuclear power industry because the Department of Energy has not started to take out the garbage yet. And, you know, the companies are taking huge shortcuts on safety with the radioactive waste storage. So I guess you could say that $500 million per year is really going into their pockets. It's kind of adding to their profit margin because it's certainly not being used to increase safety at the atomic reactors where this radioactive waste is stored.
I can't remember exactly what your sign says, but I saw 1% on it in reference to the occupations, the 99%ers. This seems to be one of those issues where you have a tremendous amount of money being consolidated at the very top.
Well, I'm dressed as Mr. Burns today, and I have kind of a Satan costume over the top of Mr. Burns. It's his Halloween costume when he can really let his hair down, if he had any, and be himself, the devil. And what Mr. Burns' sign says on the one side is, I am the 1%. Smithers, unleash the hounds of hell. And there's an atom symbol and a dollar sign. And then on the other side, Mr. Burns' sign says, toxic sludge is good for you. Atomic crud is so excellent. And as well, mutants for nuclear power. And we've got Blinky on there. So, I mean, the nuclear power industry, all jokes aside, is one of the most powerful players in town in Washington, D.C. Just one example is how much money they've spent on lobbying. From 1999 to 2009, the atomic industry in this country spent $645 million on federal lobbying. And that's more than $1 million a week. And my joke is that I know what that feels like, but we've recently learned what the actual figure is. And despite that, there have been huge grassroots victories. They have not gotten the Yucca Mountain dump. We are thankful to the Obama administration for that. They've canceled that very dangerous idea. That's despite this lobbying machine that is the nuclear power industry.
Any final thoughts you care to share?
Well, just that our hearts go out to the people of Fukushima and our solidarity to the women of Japan who are occupying the Ministry of Energy, calling for much larger evacuations paid for by the Japanese federal government, because certainly private families can't afford to do that, and also calling for a phase out of nuclear power in Japan.
Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.